Good morning. My name's Ray, and it's my privilege to open the Bible that we have read to us already. However, I have to open my texts. It's not that I'm attached to them so much, but just as I left home this morning, I receive a wonderful text. St. Nick's employs an administrator, and she works over on the East Coast somewhere. And her name is Chloe. And Chloe wrote this text to you. Praying for a wonderful Christmas celebration at St. Nick's today and tomorrow. May you see many newcomers eager to hear the message of Jesus. Also praying for abundant energy and joy for you throughout the festivities. Merry Christmas and God bless. That comes from Chloe, our virtual assistant, who is real. I had to ask Chloe a question when she began to work for us. And that question was, Chloe, are you related to Bill Lawton? And she came back and said, it happens to be that Bill is my grandfather. Well, I wrote to her and say, please pass on my love to your grandfather. I appreciated Bill's ministry to my wife and myself just after we married. We moved into the suburb of Sydney where Bill was the minister. And I said, Bill also helped me through my Greek as I was studying at theological college. And she came back and said, oh, do you know that my grandfather, who you call Bill, is helping me through my Greek too? How do I know that that's true? It's not written down. It wasn't written in the West Australian. How do I know it's true? 50 years ago, we sat with Chloe's grandfather. Chloe was not even a dream. She was nothing at that point. And here I receive a text from Chloe. Are you going to believe me or not that I knew Chloe, or that I didn't know Chloe, that I knew her grandfather? We've read passages of scripture this morning. Had we read Matthew chapter 1, 1 to 17, we would have read some 42 fathers upon fathers upon fathers of Jesus, going back to Abraham. So between Abraham and the birth of Jesus, there was something like 42 generations. Long time. If we read from Genesis chapter 1 as we started this morning in chapter 3, if we read from Genesis chapter 1 to Abraham, we would find at least another 20 generations. What we have in the Bible is God's generation, as it were, working through real people for all of those generations, working towards the promised Jesus. And as we read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we're introduced to what God's going to do against Satan to bring people back to himself. My text is sitting there. You can come and read it. But you have in front of you text from the Bible testifying to many, many people who are part of Jesus' life. What do we do about that? We've also read from Isaiah, and we could have chosen several other prophets in the Old Testament who actually spoke of Jesus quite clearly. And how do we know that? It's because when we look at the life of Jesus, We see what Isaiah, in this case, that we read this morning some 700 years before Jesus, we see what he said back then coming true in the actions, in the stapling of Jesus on the tree, in the curse that he endured, the death that he died, and that he rose again some 700 years before. And that's only one of the many prophets who spoke of Jesus. We can read the New Testament, and Jesus himself spoke of what's going to happen to him. And even one of his disciples said, "Oh, that's not going to happen to you. I won't let it." But what happened? It happened exactly the way Jesus said it would. And as we look at the Old Testament, it happened exactly the way God said it would. You see, people needed to be brought back to God. And we have a very clear record through the 66 books of the Bible, unblemished. And it's not even sanitized. We look at some of those genealogies and say, "You've got to be kidding. You can't work through that person. You can't use Gentiles. You can't use a prostitute, can you, and have that person in the line of Jesus?" They are all sitting there, testifying to the fact that this Jesus, who is called the Messiah, was born the way God said he would be born. As a follower of Jesus, I find that really quite refreshing. I'm actually trying not to make this up by myself at all. All I need to do is listen to what God has actually recorded already. Well, God records his activity in bringing the likes of you and me, the likes of the people in the time of Jesus, the likes of the people who rebelled against Jesus even before then, of bringing people back into close relationship, walking with the living God. There are many distractions along the way that seem to hide what is obvious. There are many deceptions along the way. "Oh, it can't happen that way. God mustn't exist. Why hasn't he stopped the war? Why hasn't he done this? Why hasn't he done that? It can't be really true. God doesn't really exist." I once was invited by a neighbour to join him on a day chasing some cattle. And my neighbour said, would you come and join me and help get the cattle that are bound down the back of your place and bring them back into my paddock for me, please?" Well, I'd finished half a day's work at that point of time, and I said, "Yes, John, I can come and do that." Well, he caught a horse for me, and I got very attached to that horse because we spent 8 hours together, very closely related. And I'm actually glad we stayed related all that time and we didn't get sort of disjointed from each other. However, I found out that this horse was very towy. I'm sure that someone could tell us what towy means. Towy means for a horse, "I know what I want to do and I'll do it. If I see something, well, I'll go my way, thank you very much." I needed to be a little bit alert with this horse that I got to know very, very fondly. I saw up ahead, it couldn't have been too far ahead, something that the horse had not seen. But I knew that this horse would react to what was up there. And so as soon as I saw this thing that would take this horse away, I thought, "I'm going to take control." Well, I pulled that horse's head around and then I put my foot on the accelerator. You know what that means, I'm sure. And we climbed the hill. We pursued a cow that was up there, and we went right around that snake was up there, and the horse knew nothing about it. Do you know, there are deceptions in our lives that we don't even know are there, and we need to avoid them, like I needed to avoid that trap that my horse didn't know nothing about. We're celebrating Christmas. I'm not sure when the competition finishes. But there's a competition happening at the moment, isn't there? And I think it's the greatest number of lights you can have in a house. The most amount of electricity you can purchase. And you might win the prize of this Christmas display. Hidden in sight of all that light, there is usually no message of what Christmas is about. Amongst those lights is a deep darkness hiding what Christmas is about. Oh, it's a fun thing to do. However, it's a deception. And we can get caught up in that deception. There are obvious deceptions all over the place. Jesus came to reveal those deceptions and to expose to us the reality of life. We read about it. I wonder if you would have a look in your sheet on page 5. I'm sorry that the verse numbers are not there, but there you will see on page 5, and I've got here verse 4, but you don't see it. And we see there, and you read it in the second paragraph there, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Darkness hides so much, and that darkness can be all those Christmas tree lights. But it hides the truth about Christmas. And there are so many darknesses that we need to be aware of that will take us away from the truth of relationship with the living God. The truth of what life is meant to be, that God created us to live. However, Jesus came, and he came not only displaying, but being that life and that light so that we can come into relationship with God. A remarkable short statement, that, isn't it? Well, is this automatically conveyed? He's come. We've just read it. We're singing about the life and the light that Jesus came to give. Does it come to us automatically? Well, we actually have to say no. It doesn't come automatically to us. As we see there a little bit further down, we actually see that the true light comes through Jesus. And in verse 12, on page 5 there, and I have to find exactly where it is. It starts with, yet to all who receive Jesus, receive him. To those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. I'm sure that we all know where we came from. It involved conception. It involved birth. But no one is conceived and born into God's family in that way. I grew up in a Christian home. There was a day that I needed to decide personally to actually follow Jesus, to accept him as my saviour, ask his forgiveness for my sins. I might say I was a pretty good boy, but I wasn't good in God's eyes. I was just like any other person who was living their life independent of God. And the darkness hid the reality. I wasn't in relationship with the living God. But God, in his grace and mercy, said, Ray, you need to do something about that. And I'm sure glad that my mum and dad did not hide Jesus from us, five boys. But they faithfully exposed us to Jesus, the one who is the true light, the one who is the true life, who invites us to become friends with God. Well, you sit here in church today, and I'm glad that you are here. There are a lot of people who sat in the churches in the time of Jesus. Did they not see what was really happening? Well, we have to say, no, not really. Because there was, you remember Jesus actually healing a lot of people? Do you remember the blind man Jesus healed? You find it in John chapter 9. You actually find that the disciples asked Jesus the question, who sinned, this man or his parents, which made him blind? Well, Jesus surprised them. And he also surprised the people who were listening in, the Pharisees as well. He said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. But he was born blind so that you might see God at work. Well, Jesus healed that man and he went home seeing. He met Jesus a little bit later and Jesus asked him the question, do you know who can save you? And this man said, no. You can believe in me, Jesus says. I am the one who came to save you, not just to give you physical blindness, sight. I've come to give you spiritual sight, to know God personally. And this man said, I believe that you are the Messiah. A little bit later on in John chapter 9, Jesus has a conversation with the Pharisees. And Jesus explains to them, unless you believe in me, you have no relationship with the Father. And they heard what he was saying because they heard about, they were a part of, the healing of this blind man. And they said to Jesus, are we blind too? Well, Jesus answers in a different and an interesting way. He says, since you claim that you can see, and yet you do not receive me, you stand under my condemnation. You don't know me at all. You have no access. So I don't stand before you as an ordained person, saved because of my ordination day. I stand here just like you, someone who needs to put their trust in the Lord Jesus for salvation. Brothers and sisters, I see most of you here knowing that you're walking with Jesus. And today's a great day to have that affirmation. It is not because of our goodness. It is not because we might take communion or we don't take communion. It's because of our belief in the Lord Jesus as the light who came into the world to bring us life, disclosing the darkness, getting that light, breaking through that darkness of not knowing God. I'm always encouraged, I'm always moved as people take communion together. I find it very moving to know that God's church is big. And we don't just have communion here today together. We have it with Chloe. We have it with people over in the Middle East, Yes, even in Gaza and Israel, even Ukraine, and maybe even in Russia and China. We commune with all those people who believe in the Lord Jesus. Well, if you don't have that confidence in knowing that your relationship with God is secure, I'd love you to ask for a little booklet that I'd like to make available to you.
Can I have one of those, please?
This little booklet is called What is a Christian? If you would like a copy of this, I'd like you to simply ask one of the people up the front here, and they've got several copies. That's why I had confidence in knowing that Sue, she's got one less now, I've got it. Anyway, please feel free to take one of these. We'd love you to take that home. If you've got someone you'd like to give that away to, who you're having a conversation with about becoming Christian, please let them have it. Please take that too. We have several of those. Can I say Happy Christmas? But I trust that your Happy Christmas is born out of the fact of your walking in the light of Jesus, not in the light of your Christmas tree, or wherever else it might be, because they can be darkness hiding the truth about Jesus. I'll pray. Loving Father, we do thank you for your loving kindness to us. That so many years ago, even on the first pages of Scripture, we see you're actively working to bring people back to yourself, having believed the lie of Satan, that we can have it all and we can live independently of you. We pray, Lord, that you will expose that as being that lie into our lives personally. And we pray, Lord God, that you'll help us personally to acknowledge you as Saviour and Lord, knowing what it is to walk with you day by day, knowing what it is that you hold nothing against us because we rely on Jesus. Increase our faith, we pray, that we might daily please you and not embarrass nor hurt you in any way. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.